If Love and Gogi is wrong, I don't want to be right.
What would Socrates say to that?
It tickles my fans.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Goosies.
I don't have hair!
Oof.
You got Marcos.
That's not... No, that's not...
Wait.
Yeah, that's true. You do got me.
Get over here, Marcos. Let me look at you.
They don't want this.
They don't want it.
Toby and Leroy, ready to deploy. Had to hit it with a little journalism, but that was a decoy. Better have about me, boy. Okay, Leroy and Tobin, hold to the show, man. Stairs on the sauce with the show, and till then, his half moon open. Sometimes go taste like a snowman. No proof, I'm a lie about a motor. No proof. Like I always wanted him, I never hated him. I never traded him, and if I did, I never ever traded him. You know what? What is a star? Like under the city, the driver's side floor. Gucci Galar, so many more. 10 in the mar, never a bar. Hey, 10 in the mar, 2 to the P. Nothing to you, but it's something to me. Handsome as ever. Cute as can be, you can watch us on YouTube with viewing for free. This one time for the Twitch, this one time for the text, this one time for the phone line, whole time wonder what they gonna do next.
You know, I just wish you guys would stop the quibbling.
Morning, everybody! And a happy new week to everybody out there. Good morning, Leroy.
What's happening?
Man, Leroy is Leroy is looking good today. He's got the whole wardrobe going today.
Nah.
Unbelievable.
Nah. It was... I was tired of looking for stuff.
I understand. It's a good look for you, though, dude. No, you don't look like you just either came or are going to an LA Fitness. Got the quarter zip going. He's got his jeans on. Do you know how rare it is to see Leroy in jeans, Brittany?
Only in Vegas.
You know, he walked in here and I didn't want to, I hate when people always like make comments about the way that someone dresses. Like they're always like, oh, you look nice today.
He does.
So I didn't want to tell him that, but I was thinking it.
Brittany, I did it worse. I'm like, it smells lovely in here.
Well, it certainly smells better than it does when we have collision when it's in here.
Brittany, see? So I wasn't off.
No, you weren't. I get that often, though.
It smelled very lovely. I said, Brittany, it smells very lovely in here. Not like men.
Yeah, no, sometimes, like, you'll walk in here some mornings, and it'll be like Royal Rumble of middle-aged cologne, or past middle-aged cologne, to be honest with you. But, yeah, man, it's good to be back with everybody for a week. It was obviously a very busy sports weekend. The football has been crazy. We'll get to our headlines brought to you by Doral Hyundai. You always pay less with your Pricito at Doral Hyundai. Visit us at Doral Hyundai or at DoralHyundai.com. But, yeah, the football was bananas. That was I came home in time for the Bears-Packers comeback. That was insane.
Insane. But sometimes you play, and I was trying to explain this. Sometimes when you think you have no chance, you just play free. And you take chances that if it's a 0-0 game, you wouldn't take because you're so far behind. Then you get in a rhythm. And now you're like, oh, I'm on one right now. I'm going to keep it going. And I think it just kind of had a snowball effect in a positive way for Chicago in that they started making plays and taking chances and everything was working. And then they started feeling comfortable. And I'm like, and there was nothing that Green Bay could do to make them feel uncomfortable when it got to that point.
I was very stunned because my son and I went down to the freestyle wrestling on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And we get into Amerant Bank Arena, and I hadn't looked at the scores or anything, you know. So I walk in, and immediately as I walk past Funky Buddha, you know, the Funky Buddha bar they have right as you walk in, and I see the score, and I'm like, excuse me? The Panthers are leading? What the hell's going on here?
The Bears?
No. That was the Panthers were, you know, the Panthers were giving the Rams a run for their money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That game was great too. That game was that game was crazy.
It went. I would like to say, it seems like all these games had like feeling out periods, and the scoring didn't start great. Then all of a sudden, they just couldn't stop scoring either side. Fourth quarters of both of those games were amazing. I thought the Panthers were going to win.
I did too.
Yeah.
Dude, could you imagine if we lived in a world where Bryce Young took down the MVP frontrunner or one of them?
Duh.
That would have been crazy. That would have been crazy.
You know what? I meant to catch Hollywood before he left.
I don't think he was in the building today.
Oh, okay. So here's the deal. Remember when they were talking about Tom Brady, how you throw the ball and throw it with the point
down?
I saw
something on Twitter about that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I wasn't, you know.
So, and here's the problem, okay? And I want everybody to understand this. You got to be 6'3 to be able to do that, because if you're short, you have to have the point up because every ball is going over somebody.
That makes sense.
So Tom Brady can say that, but somebody like Bryce Young or Tua can't. Because, and you notice, they also have that high release.
Sure.
So imagine being 6'3", 6'4", high release, and then you can play with the point of the ball. If you're short, the point is always up. Mm-hmm. And yes, that could cause problems, but you also see guys that have, say, Kyler Murray, who has a cannon for an arm, everything is a bullet. And that's because he can only really throw it one way because he's short.
Same with you, Kyler Murray?
Huh?
What?
No, we're out of the munchkin game.
Okay, fair enough.
Right? I want full donuts.
Fair enough.
I don't want the munchkins.
Well, the Dolphins, they're searching for their head coach. We got a list of candidates.
No, it doesn't, like, I hate to say this, but I'm going to say this, and everybody's talking about Kevin Stefanski, right? Why would he leave a situation with quarterback chaos and come to another situation?
Are the Dolphins in a chaotic – they're in a bad cap situation, but they're not in chaos. You're going to be able to –
quarterback – think of what he's been through at the quarterback position in the last 5 or 6 years. Why would he then sign somewhere where the quarterback position is unsure?
I get you. I don't think the Dolphins really have the attractiveness of their roster right now, for sure. I would agree with that.
Well, just one position, because guess what? You could say the same thing about Tennessee, but Tennessee has a quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah,
so you could say the same thing about Atlanta, but Atlanta supposedly has a quarterback.
Yeah, but he's, you know, got his gazillionth ACL tear.
And he's 40.
That's true. They're all going to be 40 now. That's how it's going to work.
Right.
All these quarterbacks are going to stay in school forever.
But if you think about, like, just look at that situation. Look at these situations. Mm-hmm. Like, first things first, if you got ran out of your previous job because you didn't have a quarterback, why on earth would you go to a new position where there's no quarterback?
How do I feel about the Packers giving up 25 points to a team in the fourth quarter and Jeff Hafley, who's going to interview? He's like the hot coaching commodity, the Packers DC. And
no.
How do I feel about that? Well, do I feel, one, wow, the Miami Dolphins took away John Eric Sullivan and they went to bleep? Or do I feel like this team gave up one of the biggest choke jobs of all time?
Was their defense that dominant during the course of the year?
I think they were top 7 in yards and top 10 in scoring.
Okay. And but
obviously lost Micah Parsons.
Right. But look at just the teams in their division and how they play in that division. Like, sometimes it has to do with who you play and what that team does.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just kind of position yourself to let them be, you know, who they are. I don't know, like, we're not talking about him like, say, Fangio, who, no matter what the situation is, what the team may, what the players are, he goes and dominates defensively.
Right. But I'm saying, like, you know, when Brian Flores got the Dolphins job, that's coming off a 13-3 Super Bowl win. You're like, that's the last thing I remember about the DC now is like, oh, didn't you guys, like, give up 25 to the Bears
in the fourth quarter?
In the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
So, but obviously he's got the relationship there, you know. Schmeathen's a Robert Saleh guy. Robert Saleh and the 49ers, who are playing with just whoever, bless you, piecing it together, that he thinks that Robert Saleh is basically coaching Sam Darnold because he just has jet stink on him. He's not a bad coach.
Except the quarterback went somewhere and is doing very well.
Right, but that's the point. Right. I'm saying like
but he was there.
He wasn't there with
Oh, he wasn't there he with was, Sam Darnold?
No, he wasn't there with Darnold.
Oh.
He had Wilson. He really sucks.
He couldn't even make backup for a team that needed somebody with any type of arm.
He wore 0 as his number.
Yeah. That would explain a lot.
So, potentially non-Jet stink Robert Saleh is on the list. Chris Shula, legacy?
No, stop. Stop.
Grandson? Stop.
I don't give a rat's ass what your name is. It's what you can do, right? How long? Wait, you want to ruin it? You want to ruin it for the Shula name? Bring him here and have him deal with these fans. Right? Like, I'm just saying.
The fans will give him, like, 2 years of Goosey's just because of the name, though.
No. No, they won't.
The dads weren't very good at coaching, were they?
No, we had one that was at Alabama, right?
Yeah.
No.
He was pre-Nick Saban, wasn't he? He was the coach before Nick Saban. Was that Mike Shula? Is that his dad?
Mike.
Who knows what Shula he is? Maybe it's like
not a whole bunch of Shulas floating around.
Maybe the grandson.
I think it's the grandson.
No, he is the grandson. I know that. I know Chris Shula is the grandson. But I'm saying, like, maybe it skips a generation.
Well, no. Here, the problem with Cooper is Cooper was good, too. He had a back situation. So he couldn't play. So it wasn't a matter of he played and he was bad. It was he couldn't play.
Man, you got like, what do you got, allergies on that sweater?
I think it's because I'm not wearing sweats.
Mm.
And my body is rejecting these clothes.
He's Dave's son, by the way. He's Dave's son. He's Mike Shula's nephew, Chris Shula, and Don's grandson.
Okay.
So that's the lineage right there. I'll tell you one thing, great chin. Got a chin like the Don. Coaching chin. That's what that reaction deserved. Dade South has referred to you as Young Sneezy.
Akon and Young Sneezy.
Point for Twitcher.
Brittany, you like any of these candidates?
I actually like Robert Saleh.
Okay.
I'm okay with that.
But
what about Clint Kubiak? They've already interviewed him.
No.
Another legacy, another Nepo coach.
So here's the problem. I think Robert Saleh is great defensive mind.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably gonna. I would be inclined to think that he's gonna be the one that goes offense defensive line along with Sullivan, right? I do think that unless you're an idiot. And having watched success in the NFL the last couple of years, then you know that that's how it has to be done. So when you think of tough, when you think of that, but here's the problem. Offensively, who are you going to have to run the offense?
Yeah, that's a big question. Who's the guy that it can get?
And keep in mind, this team hasn't had a problem on the defensive side of the ball. Early on in the year, they were just really young. But if you look over the past few years, defensively they've been okay. It's been all of the issues that have occurred on the offensive side of the ball. So if you bring a defensive coach in and the defense continues building with the young talent and playing well, you're still going to have kind of the same problem or issues that you had in the last couple of years, which has been the offense in November and December. So what do you do about that? Because that's how I'm looking at this as, like,
it's kind of hard to know right now because we don't know what the quarterback situation is going to be, right?
No, but even with that, if you bring a defensive-minded coach in and the offense needs to be revamped with a new quarterback, a new system, or whatever, How is he going to accomplish that? That's the only thing that, and it's a question, you probably could, you know, hire an offensive coordinator and it could all be fixed, but it's still like kind of how these things go. You kind of, okay, our offense was bad, like when they brought Mike McDaniel, our quarterback struggling, he needs some support, let's bring in the offensive guru, right? Mm-hmm. So how...
Yeah, well, his situation was weird because they just kept Boyer. That year.
Right.
He was a holdover.
Right.
Then Fangio hated each other, apparently, or Fangio just didn't like Miami.
So from that standpoint, like, how do you go about that?
I mean, yeah, we don't know. I'm just saying, like, but off of, if, I mean, he's the one, you got him and Stefanski with the experience. The first timers, you got Halfley and Shula. Clint Kubiak from Seattle is, you know, because Seattle's been balling and Sam Darnold still looks good, but Sam Darnold did look good in Minnesota, too.
With then, another offensive-minded coach.
And then we don't know if John Harbaugh is going to interview with the Dolphins. We know the Dolphins have reached out, but we don't know that he's going to interview.
Hold on. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to set it up for you.
Mm-hmm.
I make you the program director of this station.
Yep.
Right? You get to go and hire all the talent. You hear this big name that's been in New York, L.A., superstar. You give him a call, you want to hire him. The company says, okay, we'll bring him in. He has a condition that he gets to decide who else is on not only his show, but the other shows. Thus, taking your responsibility away from you and you being a program director.
Like, I don't think that's apples for apples.
It is because I get where you're going. You just hired a new GM. What do you think the last thing he wants to do is? Give all the power to somebody else.
Yeah. Well, they've denied that. That has been there's been some pushback on the demands thing. Like
I think coaches want the final say on who's on the roster.
Did I say apples for apples?
Yeah.
It's apples to apples. I apologize, Josh. Thank you for calling that out.
I think it has
minus one for butchering English.
I think it has a lot to do with, though, when you have a situation like that, a lot of coaches want control of the roster. Right? And when that happens, you have to have a certain cachet to even get that. But if I'm a GM, and it's my first GM job, why would I want to give up any of the power to...
I would say this. Here's the thing. We don't know. I would assume,
we don't.
I would assume you're right that they probably would have gone with the guy who we know to have the Harbaugh relationship. If this Harbaugh thing has been in the works, and maybe Harbaugh does think highly of John, and they're trying to make this look like they've covered their tracks, which is what the Dolphins have tried to do, then that's probably what it is. Like, I think old Sully knows that, you know, John thinks highly of him. But I would agree that it's probably unlikely. Once he got the job, that was probably a signal that Harbaugh is going to go elsewhere and will probably bring his guy Alexander with him. I would agree with that.
And the other thing is are you think John Harbaugh would look at this situation much like Denver and say we're going to rip the Band-Aid off? And
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think so. I think that's how you got to go about it. I think you set whatever that first year is. You're kind of mediocre. You get your quarterback, and then you kind of set things in motion. And
are fans cool with that?
I don't think they really have a choice right now. Speaking of not having a choice, the Miami Heat. Woof! 15 minutes of heat. Next. 15 minutes of heat here, brought to you by Doral Kia. You always pay less with your price. Cito at Doral Kia. Visit us at Doral Kia or DoralKia.com.
Could he use 15 minutes of heat?
Yeah, it wasn't. It was about as unenjoyable a weekend of Heat basketball in a long time. An unenjoyable week. A terrible road trip. Weren't competitive in any game. And a rainout inside. Does it get worse than that? I don't think it does. What's worse than that? Don't win, and you had to sit through 2 hours of them not playing basketball? I guess only Brittany, who had to who had to miss the Canes basically playing the most meaningful game that they've ever had in her lifetime because the court wouldn't work in Chicago.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to lie. It was the best thing that happened to me. Oh. Could have been worse.
You watched the game while you were waiting?
So we were watching the game while we were waiting. We all were like, okay, put the Canes game on. Who cares what they're doing on, you know, FanDuel? So we put the game on. So I was watching very chill while everybody else was just trying to, you know, get the time moving and past till we got updates. And then they canceled the game. And I said, all right, I'm going to my cousin's house now. And I was able to watch the fourth quarter at home. So I was excited. I was thrilled.
Yeah, well, I wasn't thrilled watching the Heat last night, but I wasn't surprised. Like, look, the Heat aren't in Oklahoma City's class, like, flat out. Like, they got...
I mean, they got...
Because, be honest,
four guys who look like they could be dominant on a team.
Yeah, the Heat honestly didn't even play that bad offensively from a shooting perspective. It's just
warmed down.
It's just the turnovers against that team and the second chance points in that game, 26-1.
How do you get one second chance point?
Free throw. Huh? Free throw. If you get a foul and you go to the line.
Okay.
But 26-1. And then I think turnovers. I think points off turnovers. I think that he gave up 39 points off turnovers.
They always have an arm in the passing lane. Like, they all are pterodactyls, limbs. Right? Limbs.
Limbs, dude.
Just tip. All. Tip. Oh, that was tip. I'm like, oh my goodness. And look, let's just put it out there. No, we here for the people. We all beat around the bush. Okay. What are we going to do about Tyler?
I don't know what you do about Tyler. I don't know what you do. I don't know what you do with this team, to be honest with you. Because here's the thing with this team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, the Tyler thing's not going anywhere. That's for sure. But also, Bam has been atrocious.
Yeah.
He can't hit anything.
Water from a boat.
He can't hit anything. If he was swimming in the water, he wouldn't hit the water.
Yeah.
He's terrible right now. And I know.
And why isn't Kalel?
Because Spo's genius to this. His solution was, you know what we should do?
Go tiny.
We should bench him because Tyler can't come off the bench for more than a game. And who do I always blame everything on? I blame it on the young kids.
You know what was the most annoying thing to that game? Like, the result, I'm not necessarily worried about the result. But for the life of me, I can't figure out how Chet Holmgren was out there shooting threes with Bam in front of him. I'm like, that's no resistance. So I would have let Kalel go use his six fouls because I was tired of Chet Holmgren tippy-toeing over all of the miniatures and getting rebounds. And so, like, at what point when you see that, you go, Kalel, go get your six?
Yeah. Well, I will say, I don't think Kalel had a great game yesterday either. He had one rebound in the entire game, and that was in the garbage time. So he went basically the entire game with zero rebounds. That's pretty unacceptable for being 7 foot.
But, okay, listen. You can make points, but here's the point I would make. When you look down on that bench, you better coach him up because ain't nobody else you can put in there to do what he does.
Sure.
And so you either coach him up toughly and send him back in there, but you can't penalize him and say go sit on the bench and not, because you don't have any other options. So you're basically, what is the saying? Cut off your nose to spite your face?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, like, let's
– I just think
– it's just tiresome that, like – the way they go about handling Kalel, when we can all see you don't have a whole bunch of options.
Right.
So be harder on him. He can accept tough coaching, and you just keep coaching him up so that when it comes a point in time where, you know, I don't know, in March or April, where you may really need him to have a big game, you haven't just thrown him to the bench every time those situations came up.
I just think that this team, it's now been over a month. This has basically been what they've been since the start of December, where...
Since Tyler came back?
To be fair to Tyler, like, not really, because here's the thing. The thing that's messed up with Tyler, and I think is, like, you can't, you know, you can't really run from it, is the offense isn't better with him. It's right. not. Even with him being an offensive talent, it's not better with him. Them being a humming, high machine offense, when Spoh says, we're special when we play faster, we're average when we play slow, that doesn't get better with him. And there's no running from that. You can't cut it. You could put up his numbers. He could put up all the points he wants in the fourth quarter. You just can't. And on top of the fact that he hasn't been durable this season, so you really don't have an answer for it.
Did you say he hurt a rib?
He had a rib injury coming into the game, apparently. But what? I don't know. I didn't see the injury. I don't know.
But they didn't.
He ended up playing.
No, I know, but they didn't even play last.
The Indy game?
Yeah.
Yeah, they barely played. They all went out there. That was the other thing. They lost to the worst team in the league this year by a gazillion. Like, they weren't even in that game.
Right.
They got it down to, like, 7, which Tyler was a big part of, to be fair. But then, like, they hit – Nembhard hit a couple threes, and they basically let go of the rope, and it was over. Right. I think that the Heat in that game shot – I think they were 4 for 30 from three.
4 from 30.
But I think that's on top of the garbage time. I think rotational guys who actually played were like 2 for 23 from three. And I think Leroy, you know, we talked about the Ja thing and we went back and forth on it. And here's really where I'm at on it. What the hell is Ja Morant doing for this team? Honestly, what's he doing?
Nothing.
What's anybody doing for this team right now? They're not, and there's nobody. And here's the other thing. There's nobody else that's on the market right now. I truly think it's time for the Heat as a franchise to look at themselves in the mirror and be like, we need to do the prudent thing here, which is we got a lot of veterans on this team who are on shorter term deals. We're not really keen on paying them. This isn't a robust trade market because Giannis isn't getting traded. AD just got hurt again. If Ja Morant's the only thing that's out there.
No.
And it could hear me out. Let me finish. If Ja Morant's the only thing that's out there, we could be the only team really selling in this market that's got deals that aren't ridiculous, guys that don't have a ton of baggage. And, dude, you're telling me that if Eric Spoelstra went with a unit of Kasper Giakachonis, Pelle Larsson, Jaime Jaquez, Kalel Ware, Nikola Jovic, I don't think anybody's trading for Bam right now because his contract is enormous, that they couldn't do exactly what they just did for the last 6 weeks, which is beat the bad teams and lose to the good teams?
Yes, they could do the same.
They could do the same thing.
While getting these guys into a position where when we come past getting these moments again, they'll know how to handle them.
And if they don't, like if they went a year and it just went bad, which it won't go bad enough, they'll still make the play-in. But let's just say theoretically it did, if you went that route. Okay, look at every team in the league right now that is like jumping. They all have gotten some kind of high draft pick to revitalize their team in some way, shape, or form. You don't really believe in any of the guys that you're keeping around anyway because none of them are signed to long-term contracts outside of Adebayo. So what are you holding on to? I'm trying to figure it out. That's really the thing I'm trying to figure out because the Celtics did the exact same thing that I'm talking about, and they're up in the standings, and they're going to get Jason Tatum back this year. So they basically did that with Porzingis and with Drew Holiday and with Al Horford and all of their veterans. They basically played all their bench guys and let Jaylen Brown go crazy, and they had Kata turn into something because they let him play.
Right.
And how are the Heat the Heat are above that? What level of pride are they doing now? I don't understand.
That's my point. That's like, we're making too many points. We're trying to make points. You know, the Kalel thing, trying to make a point. You know, with Tyler, trying to make a point. Right? Like, at some point, you know, if you can't win, then I want to see development. Simple as that.
Right.
And the Kalel thing drives me crazy because you'll show in stretches where he's dominating on the court. And what you need is more consistency. But if you're not having consistency with him, how are you expecting consistency the other way around. So, I mean, go ahead.
I don't know what it is.
Just says sticking with LaFleur.
That's the breaking news?
No, I don't know.
I don't know.
That's Get Up. That's earlier. The live one's up top.
Right. You're right. You're right. That's taped. You're right.
Hey, you got Leroy. Yeah,
I got Leroy. Damn it.
Son of a bitch. Minus one for technological snafu.
Hey,
we'll take a break. More to come here on the show. We're back after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. I was just showing Leroy the clip of the Jacksonville Jaguars reporter who was being nice to Liam Cohen. That has a ton of reporters losing their mind because it wasn't professional.
You know what? Like, I don't understand what these jackasses want. You're Jacksonville. Right?
Like, that was your first response was, you're Jacksonville.
You're Jacksonville. You haven't done nothing in football in how many years? Right? You've gone through a handful of coaches. You finally have some success and a reason to be positive through the year. And yeah, you got a bit unlucky because Josh Allen came into town. But you didn't play a bad game. There wasn't a point in that game where you could say, oh, Jacksonville blew it.
No, he's unbreakable. Like, literally.
Right.
Like, did you see all the injuries he had in that game?
Oh, my goodness. He got folded up like just ridiculous. So my problem is why what's wrong with that? What's wrong with saying that?
People will say, you want me to be fake reporters who would
be
upset
reporter.
About it?
Be fake reporter. Be fake reporter.
You have to be unbiased in the media
room. She's writing for Jacksonville.
She's writing for the Jacksonville Times, too.
The Jacksonville Times.
I learned something.
Wait a minute. You.
What?
Cannot be that guy.
What do you mean? I'm not that guy.
Okay.
I'm not that guy.
Okay.
I'm okay. I am like.
But I'm just. It's a weird thing to get upset about.
It's a weird thing. I don't understand. And again, I'm not a journalist. I am boots on the ground from time to time, but I would definitely say I blur the lines. You know,
they're not blurred.
Fair.
They're not blurred.
Well, I mean, you know, I get down to business.
Oh, when your team's in the play, and
sometimes
you go,
I get down to business.
Wait. When your team's in the play-in and you go Heat and five?
Well, no, I mean, like, not. I don't do that in the locker room. You know, I keep my Heat and five and all of that. I keep that separate. I think you would agree. I can keep it separate.
But here's the deal.
You know, I'm not some show pony out there.
This is
broad with good access.
Here's what I would say. I don't think there's anything wrong with congratulating somebody after a season,
mm-hmm.
right? And for other news, how is she stopping them from doing their job?
She's not.
Not at all.
And the other thing is,
in fact, it might actually ease him a little bit to answer some of your nonsense questions.
Yeah, the only thing I found weird about it, because I did go, because, you know, again, I want to, like, go and check to make sure, like, hey, what was the context? Was it the end of the press conference, in the middle of the press conference? Did she have a question after that, or did she just say nice things to him?
Right.
She just said the nice thing, and then it just moved on. Like, that's, I don't know if she was expecting Liam to say something, and he didn't really help matters. Like, I think it would have maybe gone better if Liam Cohen would have said, hey, thanks. But he just kind of, like, looked, and I don't think Liam Cohen wanted, because he's so broken that it's the biggest loss of his career in his young coaching career at that point. I don't think he really wanted to acknowledge the compliment. If you guys don't know what we're talking about, this was the exchange here that happened after the Jacksonville Jaguars lost to the Buffalo Bills.
I just want to tell you congratulations on your success, young man.
Thank
you. Hold your head up, all right? You guys have had a most magnificent season.
Thank you.
You did a great job out there today.
Appreciate
so you
it.
Just hold your head up, okay?
Thank
and
you,
ladies
ma'am.
And gentlemen, Duval, you the one, all
Thank
right?
You, ma'am.
You keep it going. We got another season, okay?
I appreciate
Take
it.
Take care and much continued success to you and the entire team.
Thank you, ma'am.
And she's been a reporter in Jacksonville for 20 years. Her name's Lynn Jones. She's, I think, the associate editor of the Jacksonville Times, which is a black newspaper. And, you know, so she's, it's not like she's some Johnny come lately, like is never around the community.
Correct.
She's been there forever.
She recognizes that, hey, we're Jacksonville.
No, she really does represent Jacksonville.
No,
like,
I
know. She's been in Jacksonville, you know? Like, it's not like she just, you know, went in here. Not like she's a, you know, she's not like some, doesn't host like some just rando blog, right?
Right.
I don't know. I don't understand why media feels like they have to come in with the rules all the time. Like, I agree with you. Your job is not really being affected by it that much, because you can do your job too. Like, if it was,
it's not like she stopped them or said something.
The press conference wasn't over.
That didn't enable them to ask their questions.
Honestly, sometimes if people like if a reporter was too hard on somebody, right?
Right.
Let's say they were just a complete jerk. Question: right. How they handled it, and a press conference was cut off. Let's say a guy stormed off the podium. Is that not impeding your job more than it would be somebody being nice?
What about the guy who asks ridiculous questions and goes back and forth for 20 minutes until the guy leaves?
Right.
Is that not impeding everybody else's job? It's really. Just with all that's going on in the world, somebody giving anyone a little positivity in Jacksonville, right?
You keep pointing that out.
Because they haven't been good for a really long time. Like, put it in context, right? That's like, and for people to, like, the only person that would have a problem with that is he's thinking, now I can't ask my tough question, you know, after all this damn positivity. Sure you can.
Yeah, sure you can.
Sure you can. Like, to be honest with you, I don't think anybody on Jacksonville's team did anything wrong. You played a football game. You played it pretty good. You just got Josh Allen. And that happens. And so to sit here and say, oh, these guys are, you know, no good or they can't get over the hump or whatever, you got Josh Allen.
Yeah.
So for anybody in that building or in that media room to think, oh, we're going to come out here and be real aggressive, let's not forget, you're Jacksonville, dude. Like, come on. No way you get in. No. Where has Jacksonville been?
They haven't been anywhere since, what, 2017?
There. Okay. There. So now, like, now you're there. It looks like the way your team's built, you're going to be there again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so, like, no.
I think the other thing, too, I think the other thing, too, with media, on behalf of media, nobody cares about our stupid rules, dude. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, this whole thing that they're trying to go on social media and try and explain what you studied in school or what you think ethics are or whatever it is. Like,
you're just trying to make your point of being a jackass.
No one's trying to hear that.
I mean, I went to journalism school and I took law and ethics class, and nowhere in there does it say that you can't be nice to a coach.
I've seen people.
Right. Like, that's what I'm like. Like, wait, where? In what class? Well, here's another class says I got to be a jackass all the time. I can't, like, say anything positive.
Look, as somebody, again, I would never seriously, not in showbit, describe myself as a journalist. But I have been boots on the ground and I have been impressed. I will tell you. Press conference settings where you have to, like, wait for the microphone, ask a question, hear the response. Maybe you have a follow-up. Those are my least favorite media settings. I hate those. Right. I think they're weird. They mm-hmm. can get very awkward. And I think they just make for weird, you know, the ether of it, like a person's up on a podium. It's strange. It's not like doing an interview on the radio. By the way, we have Sean Paul on the show today. Very exciting. He's doing Caribbean Heritage Night at the Heat game. But or if you're even in a locker room. Mm-hmm. And I've honestly seen those situations where journalists handle stuff really well, picking athletes up to also get to their question. Now, she didn't really have a question, but she saw, you know, a rookie coach who was in a bad moment, tried to pick his head up. I don't really understand why anybody thinks this is going to impede her from doing her job, whatever it is. You know, mm-hmm. like You think that if you think that she's incapable of, like, if Liam Cohen was a bum and he gets his Mike McDaniel on for the next 3 years, you think she's incapable of calling that out?
It's a weird thing, right? It's just weird. Nonetheless.
And I don't know. It's like,
you're Jacksonville.
That's a great argument.
It is.
I hadn't thought. You know what? It's the only argument I haven't heard.
If you like, what reporter in that room is going to really go off on Liam? Woo! Based on the way this season has gone, you had a quarterback that everybody had questions about, balled out. The offense, the defense was really good. Like, what? All turned around by this coach.
I honestly think, like, if you were to your point of it's Jacksonville, it's almost like the appropriate response to, hey, you had a 13-win season nobody saw coming.
Right.
You know? Like, it's not like, if that was in Nick Sirianni's press conference, that would probably be weird.
Correct.
You know, hey, you guys were the even if she just said, hey, you were the champs. Congratulations.
Correct.
That was impressive. You know, nobody eating a cheesesteak would like that. But what is the bigger point in all of this?
It's Jacksonville.
Take a break. We're back after this.